Almighty God, send your Holy Spirit among us now and let it burn like fire in our hearts. We consider your word together. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. My grace, I want to thank you for that song at that time. Excellent song. Paul tells us in Paul's writings that when he prayed to God to remove a thorn in his flesh, the answer was, my grace is sufficient for you, and power is made perfect in weakness. Thank you for that message that's in that song for us. Thank you, Margaret. I wonder if this has happened to you. You get caught up because you've heard from other people that this particular cause or program or activity is exciting, and you get caught up in it, and you find out that once you've jumped in with both feet somewhere down the road, you realize, I'm not committed to this. I don't think I can really do this. Nancy and I one time joined Amway, okay? And I don't know if anybody has ever been involved in Amway, and I'm not casting aspersions on it. We love to have parties at our house, but we don't like to sell to the friends once we get them there at the party. So we realized after we got into it, because we were asked by a friend to get into it, that wasn't something that we could really do, that we could be actively part of. And maybe that's happened to you somewhere along the way. Maybe it's a particular cause or charity that you thought was really great, and then you find out it's on the Secretary of State's list of those that take too much off the top for administration, and it's not really helping people as much as you thought it was. Maybe it's even happened to you in church where you agree to do something because we need somebody to fill a position, and you get into mid-year and you say, I can't do this. I can't commit the time. I don't have the expertise. I can't do whatever it is. Maybe that's happened to you. Well, I think the text before us today that talks about a warning that Jesus gave to the crowds that followed him is trying to prevent that miscalculation from taking place in anyone who wants to become his disciples. We are in, as you've already heard today, we're in this period of discipleship where we're emphasizing what it is that God expects of us as we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago, we began this series, A Sent People. We began this series on a mountaintop in Galilee with the 11 disciples that were left after Jesus was raised from the dead, and they met him there on the mountaintop and worshiped him. And after he had told them that all authority had been given to him in earth and heaven, he gave them the command, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and I will be with you always to the end of the age. The Great Commission. And we remembered on that day that somewhere along the way in our lives of faith, it became real for each of us personally. We celebrated the fact that there was a personal commitment required of anyone who heard the call of Jesus Christ to follow him. Before we could even say yes to being sent by him, we had to say yes to receive him into our lives and into our hearts. And we celebrated that together as we reminded ourselves of the commitment we made somewhere along the way to be his people, to be the ones that would go for him as he commanded, to make disciples of all nations. And then last week we remembered that even though it took a personal commitment, an individual personal commitment for each of us to come to him, we celebrated last week that we come to this activity, this discipleship, as part of a great cloud of witnesses, those that have come before us and those that continue to journey with us, the communion of saints that we have mentioned here time and time again. We celebrate the fact that God is doing a great work and has been, as examples of faith have gone before us, and as we become examples of faith to those who come after us, we continue to be held in his care always so that we can run the race set before us with perseverance, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. But our text today shouts a great concern. It says, are you sure you got it in you to do this? Are you sure you're ready to commit? Because this path is not going to be an easy one to walk. And it seems to me, just in that first line where it says great crowds were following Jesus, I think he got frustrated. He if you look back in the Gospel of Luke, somewhere in chapter 9, it says that Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. He was on his way to Jerusalem. And a lot of the teachings that he gives us in Luke's gospel occur during this travel narrative until he arrives at Jerusalem. But he's already known what it is that's going to happen to him. He's going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. They're going to abuse him, crucify him, and he's going to be raised from the dead on the third day. He knows all of this. He's begun to teach his disciples this. But it's almost as if the crowds are just caught up in seeing the wonders that he works among them. You might have noticed that over in John chapter 6, there was a crowd, a great crowd, that were looking for Jesus and couldn't find him. And they finally found him, and he says, "You didn't come looking for me because you saw signs, but because you had your fill of the loaves." You remember the great feeding that he did where he broke the loaves and fed 5,000 and beyond. And he said, "You filled your bellies, and that's why you wanted to come looking for me, not because you were ready to give yourselves to us." So I think it's important for us to hear what it is that Jesus commands of those who follow him so that we can answer the question, each one of us individually for ourselves, do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to be a follower of Jesus? The first thing that I see from this text that we need to lift up is that no relationship must be allowed to take precedence over the one you have in me, says Jesus. No relationship can have precedence over the one that you have in me. And that word hate in that paragraph, that word hate, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself cannot be my disciple. It messes with us. Even if you take time to study, and I spent some time looking at the Greek word meseo and how it tries to translate a Semitic concept of hate being to turn away from or separate oneself from in favor of something else or someone else, even that doesn't really help very much. It just strikes us so harshly, and it's hard for us to cope with. One must hate father and mother, brothers and sisters, children. The idea is that nothing will take precedence over the relationship with Jesus, not even the relationship of wife and husband, the relationship of parents and children. Now, it's important for us to understand the distinction that's being made here, because throughout the scriptures, we're told to honor father and mother, and we're told to love one another, both those that are near to us and those that are enemies of us. We're supposed to love one another. So this doesn't fly in the face of all that, but it does say there is no relationship that should take precedence. In fact, just before this, in the same chapter that we read from today, Jesus is at a dinner party at a Pharisee's house, and he tells the parable of someone giving a great banquet, and those that were invited, when it came time for them to come, he sent his servants out there to get them, and they started making excuses. I bought a piece of land, and I got to go check it out. Sorry, please excuse me. I bought some oxen, and I got to go see if they'll work together as a team, so sorry, please excuse me. I got married, so I need to go be excused so that I can be with my spouse. And the one giving the dinner got angry, and he sent his people out to command people to come in so that his house would be full, but the ones that were invited weren't going to be in there. So he's already frustrated. Now he's got a great crowd that's following him that doesn't really know what it's going to cost at all. And so he hammers home this point. No relationship can take precedence over the relationship that you have with me. He then adds one important thing to it. Not even your own life can take precedence over life in me. That's repeated several times throughout the gospel messages. Those who want to save their life in this life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will find it. And find it for eternity. Not even one's own life. That's when it gets hard. When we talk about yielding our familial relationships, when we talk about giving up our own lives potentially because of the faith, it's really hard for us to understand that. And yet there are those around the world that are doing that every day in really dangerous places. The name that jumped into my mind as I was writing this sermon this week is Andrew Brunson from North Carolina, who was a prisoner in Turkey. He'd been in Turkey for some 23 years with a small evangelical Presbyterian church there, and he got caught up in that ill-fated coup d'etat attempt, and he became a pawn in a political game for nations. He's been released now, and I think I even saw a video clip where he prayed for and with President Trump after he came back to the land. But he went into a dangerous place. He had a wife and three kids, too. I really don't know what their status was during this whole time, but he was in prison for a couple of years. He took that risk. And there are families who do that. They feel the call so earnestly that they should go to dangerous places to win souls for Jesus Christ, to do exactly what Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Those come to mind. And for some of us, it's hard for us to even conceive of that. But that may not be the call that's on each one of our lives. Nevertheless, some of us are called to give our lives one little bit at a time each day. One little act of service, one little card that we wrote to somebody, one little meal that we prepared for somebody, one little visit to a neighbor. And that may not seem like much, but it's a matter of where the priorities are in our lives. No relationship is allowed to take precedence over the one we have with Jesus. Even our own lives should not take precedence over that relationship. And then he comes back. After he gives up, he gives a couple of little parables. The one who is trying to build a tower has to sit down and calculate the cost first to make sure he's got enough to finish it, or else you go by and look, that vacant property over there is only partially built on, and they start ridiculing the guy because he didn't have enough money to finish it. Or the king who's ready to go out to war, and he's got 10,000 people in his army, but the opposing army has 20. And unless he has some significant advantages, maybe he wants to make peace rather than war. And he gives those examples, and then he comes immediately back right to where it hits us. You must be able to give all your possessions. Give all your possessions. Now it's getting kind of personal. Okay, life, relationships, and possessions are being asked for. And in reality, it shouldn't surprise us too much, because throughout the Gospels, throughout really all of Scripture, there's a great warning to make sure that God is first in our lives, and the stuff we have shouldn't distract us from that. There's always a caution that you can't serve God and wealth. You got to choose between one or the other. Even in the Old Testament, the Shema, Hear, O Israel, O Lord, our Lord is one. You must love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We continue to know that when we find Jesus' teaching on putting him first in our lives, always, always. So nothing must be given priority over our discipleship in Jesus Christ. So it's really hard for us to conceive of this idea of hating relationships that we have in our lives or putting them secondary. And yet, it occurred to me that this very day we celebrate people who have done that very thing for this nation. We have people that realized that the best thing they could do for their family was go to fight in a foreign land to make sure that we can secure freedom for them here. Recognizing that they were risking their own lives, putting even their own lives ahead of the relationship they would love to have all the time. And if we can conceive of doing that for our nation, founded on freedom, but requiring defense of that freedom at all times, can we not conceive of doing that for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we're pretty comfortable in our own homes and neighborhoods and families and churches? Let me give you something to kind of comfort you in all this. If we're being asked to give all that we have, over in Mark chapter 10, Peter began to say to Jesus, "Look, we've left everything and followed you. We've left everything and followed you." And Jesus said in reply to him, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, and children, fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. So when we decide that, yep, we're going to follow, we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, and it requires that we put that relationship above all other relationships, we recognize that they take on their best meaning once we have made that decision and put Jesus first in our lives. It's kind of like that little parable in Matthew's gospel about the pearl of great price. The one who's a merchant of pearls is in search of enrichment, okay? And he finds this one pearl of great price, but it requires everything that he has to acquire it. And I always like to think of this verse next. He gives everything so that he can have citizenship in the kingdom, and the one who owns the pearl of great price returns it to him manyfold over. Because we put Jesus first, we can know that he will reward us, not by necessarily health, as the song told us. It may not be in health. It may be in opportunities through the struggles that we have to share the love of God in Christ Jesus with others. But he will always return to us that which is desirable and favorable and good. Praise team, would you come and prepare to close us? Now, let's get real for just a minute. The truth is, and I'm there too in a lot of ways. The truth is, we've got a lot of stuff in our lives, a lot of priorities, and we lay it out in our minds kind of like on a table. And frankly, our faith is just one of many and how we might express it. And it may be that we have trouble deciding on any given day, at any given point in time, what's going to be the priority today. Is it our grandchild's soccer practice or worship service? Is it an outreach to a neighbor, or is it something else that we have to deal with? Is it to check on our retirement fund or to do something else? What is being asked of us here is to make the decision to lay out the priorities ahead of time. It's not saying that those other things, those relationships we have, those other priorities in our life are unimportant. It is saying none of them can be ahead of our relationship with God in Christ Jesus. We must put him first. And when that happens, we start listening to that voice and we start being guided by those decisions. We begin reaping the blessings that are true for everyone. Houses and children, homes and fields, and in eternity, life. Will you join me in prayer? Father God, we hear your word. It's hard for us, Lord, because it seems so painful to us. And yet we know that your promise is that you will always bless. You will always pour yourself out on us when we yield ourselves to you. So bring to us those times, those places, those things where we can testify to our love of you in our service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may your kingdom grow because we have yielded ourselves to you, true disciples, a sent people going into the world. In the powerful name of Jesus the Christ, amen.